Thank you so much for the encouragement. I just want to share a little bit about me, just so you get a background. Some of you might know me, some of you don't. So obviously, my name is Nathan, 22 years old. My amazing wife, Carly, is right here. We've been married for almost 6 months, close, more than 6 months. That's how great I am right there. I just got to remember the anniversary. That's all that matters, right? So I moved back here about a year ago. When I was in Texas, I was at Bible college and just really trying to seek God for my life, and I really wanted a strong foundation in God, and so I felt like He was telling me to go to Bible college to do that. And just going there, I just really heard God was, He was just calling me to come back here, and they were telling me about a youth pastor job, and I was so excited. It was something when I was at CF&I, or the Bible college, I loved working in the youth department, just being able to really just train and equip young people, and it's something that's really close to my heart, and so I'm really excited to be here, and I know God has great things for us here, and so I'm so excited to share with you guys this morning. This was a message, I felt like that God gave me. It was strategically gave it to me during Thanksgiving, and it just happened to be on family, and so I'm so excited to be able to share it with you today. And so the title of my message today is When Opportunity Becomes Responsibility. When opportunity becomes responsibility. So if you have your Bibles or your iPhones or your iPads, can we look at Proverbs 22, verse 6? We're going to be looking at, I'm going to be reading out the Amplified Bible because I am so amped up right now. And so Proverbs 22, verse 6, I just want to say real fast, I'm so excited to speak in the morning because I believe with all my heart that Jesus was a morning person. I mean, He got up early, He totally did all this. Some of you were like, I don't know about that yet, but it's okay. So I'm going to pray real fast, and then we're going to dive in for the word for today. So Father God, we just thank You just for everything today, God. We just celebrate You in our lives, God. We thank You as we get to talk about family, God, and just Your design, how You wanted it to be, God, and just the destiny within family, God. We just thank You so much today, God, that You just revealed just a revelation, God, that You would strengthen foundations, God, that You would just bring just a fresh touch of just the value of family in our lives, God. We thank You so much, and everyone said amen. All right. Proverbs 22, verse 6, it says, train up in a child in the way he should go, in keeping with his individual gift or bent, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Everyone say, boom. Awesome. So when I was praying for the new year, I really felt like God put in my heart families. And I know for me, I obviously don't have kids yet. I've been prophesied over twice that I'm going to have 12, so I don't know about that. But my heart is to help train and equip young people. And so as children's workers and youth leaders here, our goal is to co-labor with you guys. You guys are the youth pastors, the children's pastors, Monday through Saturday. We just get to celebrate with all the stuff God's doing on Sunday with you guys. And I really felt like on my heart that I really just wanted to encourage you guys this morning and almost just bring just a message of encouragement as far as the context of parenting, whether you're a parent, whether you're a grandparent, whether you're a great-grandparent or a spiritual parent, aunt, uncle, whatever it might be. I just want to almost just lay a focus back on God's intention for family. Pastor Daniel shared last week that family is not a human invention, but it's a divine creation, that it was God's design for us to be in family. And in Genesis 1, verses 1 through 28, we all know the creation story, how God created the heavens and the earth. And I just picture, whenever I see God as a father, I just picture everything as a father. So when He created Adam and Eve, I just see them and His children. And in verse 28, it says that God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And all the married people said, amen. And see, in this passage, God commanded a blessing upon families because He knew the importance of family. See, I feel like the two biggest attacks against family, and not only in family, but in church family, is isolation and pride. And when we look at how the devil fell, we'll see that the two things he struggled with was when he was isolated and pride. And I feel like that this is something that, obviously the devil, he tries to come at us with that. But there's such a value within your family that God wants to strengthen this year. And whenever I pray about this should train up a child in a way. When I was reading this, I realized that it doesn't say in a way that is my way or a way that's your way, but it says in a way, which means that there's a God designed his children to be raised up in a certain way. And see, as parents, all you guys have been parenting longer than I've been born, and so props to you. This is like something that, you know, as a pastor, youth pastor, talking with teens, this is something where I'm like, oh my gosh, I have so much appreciation for all the parents. Like, I'm like, man, they do this Monday through Saturday. I just do it on Sunday. And it just was something that I felt like God just wanted to remind you and almost equip you for this year. See, Daniel Silk, he's this awesome family pastor at Bethel. I was reading one of his books called Loving Your Kids on Purpose. If you haven't read it, it's probably one of the most amazing books. It changed my life as far as looking at kids and just even loving them, like the book says. And there was two things that in the book it talked about in context of parenting. And he said that there was two things that he told his children when he was raising them. And the first one was that they would be accountable for all their actions. And then the second one was to seek God first above everything. And I felt like, you know, even in my own life, that this was something that, you know, my parents taught me, you know, above everything else to seek God first. And I know, you know, today there's so much stuff going around that it's hard to find that time, or maybe sometimes it's hard because our businesses or you know, or whatever it might be, our hobbies, whatever it is, it kind of gets in the way. And when I was praying about this passage, I felt like God was saying that he's not so concerned about his vision for you. He's more concerned about your family. That he's more concerned about developing you as a family than looking down the road and seeing all the cool stuff he has in store for you, because the focus is family. So there's three core values that I felt like God was saying within this passage. And a core value is not only a priority, but it's a practice. And the three things that I felt like God was just saying in this passage was, the first one was to train your children in God's way. The second was to teach your children in God's word. And then the third one was to treat your children in God's character. See, I believe that as God has given us as you know, you parents, and then, you know, spiritual parents, grandparents, and all that stuff, as God has blessed you and given you the opportunity to have a family, there's definitely a responsibility in that. And the cool part about this is God, in this passage, he's saying that as we seek him, and this is kind of me translating it, as we seek him, he's going to unlock the keys and almost like the ways for us to raise our children in a way that when they're older, we'll see them fulfilling everything God has for them. So the first thing that I want to talk about this morning, the first point would be train your children in God's way. Train your children in God's way. So I'm a youth pastor, so here's my youth pastor analogy. I promise it's going to make sense. But there's two kinds of people in the world. There's those, when they make mac and cheese, they use the instructions, and then there's those that don't use the instructions. And all the moms and young college kids totally know this. And there's a right way and a wrong way. See, when I make the mac and cheese, my wife can tell that maybe I didn't add enough milk, maybe I didn't add enough butter. It's almost like I poured the box out and threw it away, and I was like, I'm good, I got it. I'm sure there's guys in the room that can totally agree with me. Please don't leave me alone up here. And the girls are like, okay, you know, they dump the mac and cheese in. They're like looking at, you know, the instructions on it. They're doing exactly what it says. And magically, it always comes out way better than the guys. The point is we were created to operate with guidelines, to operate in structure. And when God created the earth in Genesis 1, and he created Adam and Eve, and he put them in the garden, he gave them guidelines to live by. He gave them instructions. But within that, he empowered them to make choices. See, when we look at it, we see a loving father that is wanting to empower his children. And I believe each and every single one of you, your goal and your joy is to empower your children, because it's so awesome to see and follow God. But see, when we read the story, we see that Adam and Eve, they made a bad decision. And as a loving father he corrected them and he helped them, and then he empowered them after that. But see, God, he designed us to live with guidelines. So as parents, we have to create a place of boundaries and guidelines for our kids, and then within that, empowering them to make decisions. see, the interesting thing is when we look at the life of Jesus, you know, he said that, he told his disciples, you know, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Everything I say and everything I do is what I've seen the Father do. And when we parent like that, it takes the pressure and it takes almost the weight off of just parenting it, and it puts it on God, because when we trust God and we see what he wants to do in their lives and we act upon that, we know that it's what God wants. So let me ask you guys this question real fast. What is God's plan for your family this year? And if you can't answer that, I would encourage you this week to find some time and get together as a family and pray and ask God, God, what's your plan this year for my family? See, each year, I would encourage you to pray as a family, because when you pray as a family, you create boundaries, you create goals. I remember just Friday night, we were babysitting, and I was talking with some of the smaller kids, and I was just asking them, you know, what do you want to do when you grow up? And oh my gosh, I wouldn't believe this stuff. Like, one was like, I want to be an astronaut, I want to be this and that. And I was like, dude, that is so cool. I totally could not answer that when I was your age. But see, our children, they're created to dream. They're created to come up with goals. And when we praise that as a family and we create those things, we're empowering them to live into their destiny that God has created for them. See, growing up, my parents, they created a safe place, but not only that, they came up with boundaries as a family, guidelines that empowered me to make choices. See, one of the choices was growing up is whether I had, you know, sports, whether I was doing this or that, I better get myself to church at least once a week. And that was the guideline. And you know, when I decided not to, there was definitely repercussions of my choice, but they empowered me to make choices. See, when you do that, take the responsibility off you as a parent, because you're giving them the choice, but they know ultimately what's the right choice and what's the wrong choice. Another one, you know, that they always told me was to seek God first. To seek him first, you know, in my friends, to seek him first, even what school I wanted to go to, what sports I wanted to play. You know, they told me to seek God when, obviously, when I was dating and with Carly and stuff. And all this stuff was so important. See, a guideline isn't just a line that you can cross over. A guideline, it propels you into a lifestyle. It almost like it becomes something that you just do without even thinking about it. So when I was at college, I didn't have to think about going, should I go to church this week? I just knew, hey, I need to get to church this week, or whatever it might be. I need to do this because that's the lifestyle that they set up for me. See, in Proverbs 29, verses 17 through 18, I'm actually going to read this in the New King James. It says, correct your son or your daughter, and he will give you rest. When I read this, I was kind of confused. I was like, really? Like, give you rest? Like, I don't know how that works. But, you know, reading this and just understanding, you know, David and Solomon, you know, obviously Solomon was one that I believe wrote Proverbs and stuff. But when we look at Proverbs, one word that always sticks out is the word listen. And see, David, he set Solomon up in such a way that when God asked him what he wanted, he said wisdom. See, David set Solomon up to live a life of identity, that he knew who he was, that he knew that he was a king before he was a king. See, when we treat and we train our kids like that, it sets them up for success. It sets them up for what God has for them. In Proverbs 29, verse 18, in the Message, it says, if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. See, when we seek God first, it gives us clarity, it gives us vision. We can actually set a goal instead of just getting in this routine, this Monday through, you know, Sunday type thing. It creates life and purpose inside of us. So I would encourage you as an action item this week is to take an hour and pray with your family. And create an environment where you can be vulnerable with each other, where you can be safe with each other's dreams, with each other's hearts. You know, you're giving your kids the ability to not only find safety in you, but to find safety in God because you believe in them. Because social media, so as you can imagine, that was really, really hard. But, you know, as we took time and seeked after God this year, He created goals and vision for us as a church to do. See, but the thing is your private victories isn't here at church. Your private victories is Monday through Saturday when you're at your house. All we get to do is celebrate with you on Sunday, and we get to take part in it, and it's awesome, and I love doing it. I love hearing testimonies. I love seeing breakthrough. See, here's something interesting real fast. Did you know that 5 out of the 9 spiritual gifts is God speaking to others to speak to us? Isn't that interesting that one of the primary ways that God speaks to us is through other people? See, what happens is sometimes we're designed to hear from God. We're designed, we're created to hear His voice. See, what happens sometimes with our children, and I've experienced this firsthand as a youth pastor, is we know that they can hear from God. We know that, you know, that God speaks to them and all this stuff. But then there's an area in their life where maybe they're off track, and we're just waiting for God to speak to them. God, please, would you reveal yourself to them? And see, sometimes God will do that, but other times I believe that God, He's empowering you as a parent to speak into their life, to guide them back into the destiny that God has created for them. So the second thing that I want to talk about this morning is to teach your children in God's Word. To teach your children in God's Word. I'm enrolled in Vision University right now. It's a Bible college. Pastor Talon, they run it. They do an amazing job. And we just took this class off authenticity and authority of the Bible. When we were reading it, we had a seminar with Dr. Stan, and he was saying the statistic for Christians that they spend an average of 8 minutes a week reading the Bible. A day, sorry. Eight minutes a day reading the Bible. And that the average pastor spends 15 minutes a day reading the Bible. And this totally was, I was blown away when I read this. And it made me realize that there's a generation that we can empower and to teach them how to read the Word of God. And not only that, but explain it to them. See, I remember growing up, as a family, we always would take time at the end of dinner because my mom knew that we would all be there because we all needed to eat. And so she made a point after that to read Proverbs. And we would read Proverbs, and you know, it was funny sometimes. We would joke around, like, ha, 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 you know, different things that they would say in the passages. But when we read it as a family, when we discussed it, it created such just an atmosphere of just acceptance. It created such a place where I had the ability to say, hey, this is what I think what I think it means. And my parents had the ability to, you know, share their input. And it was so awesome. And it was just this way that God designed us as a family to be teaching the Word of God and the importance of it. See, our children's workers are amazing. Our youth leaders are amazing. And they do a great job on Sundays. But see, you're the children's pastor and the youth pastor Monday through Saturday. We just get to co-labor with you guys, and it's amazing. Just all the youth parents that I've met this last year, I just hats off to you guys. I mean, I spent 3 days on a summer camp, and I remember by the end of it, I was like, Lord, I just, you know, I'm tired. I need to, like, go to Starbucks or something. Like, I just need to take, you know, battery out and just, you know, chill for a second. And so I take off my hat to you guys, and I know the children's workers do too. We have so much appreciation for you guys. And I say this to encourage you guys to keep teaching your children the importance of valuing the Word of God. See, in Proverbs 2, David tells his son, Solomon, to seek after God, His Word, as if he was seeking after silver. And like I said, when the time came when God asked Solomon, you know, what is it that you want? You know, he didn't say money or he didn't say fame and all this stuff. He said wisdom because his dad taught him that. And as parents, we should encourage, you know, and teach them the Word of God. So let me ask you guys this question. When is the last time as a family you sat down and read the Bible and then discussed it? Mine is Christmas and Easter. Mine is those two. And if you can't answer that, I would encourage you as a family, not just on the car ride home after Sunday, set a goal each week to at least read your Bible 3 times and then discuss it with your family. And it'll create such a conversation, too, that it's just awesome. And that's what God designed family to be. And like I was saying, that your private victories are won in your home, and we get to celebrate it. So the last thing that I want to talk about this morning is to treat your children in God's character. Treat your children in God's character. We all know Luke 15, the story of the prodigal son. See, when I read this, I don't think of, you know, two knucklehead sons. I think of what an amazing father. What an amazing dad that, see, when Jesus was telling this story was so offensive to the culture of dads back then. See, dads, they would not give their sons their inheritance until they died. And not only that, but when the prodigal came back and run, in that culture, dads would not run after their son. They would wait for them to come to them. See, when Jesus told this, he was changing the dynamic in the culture and showing the characteristics of what a true heavenly father is like. See, as parents, we get the opportunity to display what that looks like to our children. In Luke 15, in verse 17 at the beginning, this is just, it stuck out to me. I was reading it a couple weeks ago, and it says, "But when he came to himself," this is talking about the son, the prodigal son, "when he came to himself, he remembered that he had a dad. And he remembered that his dad was loving and that his dad would accept them regardless of what he did with the money and all that stuff." See, oftentimes what is unlearned as a son or a daughter will affect how you are as a father or mother. Which is encouraging because that means that that's stuff that we can work on whether you have kids or not. That we should focus on receiving love as a son or a daughter, because that's what our identity is found in. That's why Jesus said that the stuff that he does, that everything he says or that he does was from the Father, because he wanted to show them the image of a perfect heavenly Father. See, I could strive to be the best preacher, the best youth pastor, and that's awesome. But there's going to be times where maybe I messed up on an illustration, where I messed up on a message, where I stumbled over my words. And if I focus on being the best son I can, I don't have to worry about it when that stuff happens. And when you as parents just focus on being the best sons and daughters, regardless of what happens, it fills you up with just the Father's love. See, how your children see you actually affects the way that they see God. It affects the way that they see a father. It affects the way that they see a mother. And your relationship with God also affects how you see God as a son or a daughter. Which is encouraging, because that means we get to go and be sons and daughters again. See, the interesting thing about Jesus is he was 30 years old and he still identified as a son first. Which is encouraging for us, because we can identify as sons and daughters. We get to be up in children's church all the time. Like free goldfish, free animal crackers, apple juice, come on. I'm excited. So I would encourage you this week to find some time to get alone with the Lord and to be safe. See, the thing about God is he wants you to trust him with your heart. He wants you to trust him with your emotions. But until we open up to the Father, we can't be a son or a daughter. See, there's almost this attack against the church, and I know you guys have heard of it. It's the orphan spirit. See, the orphan spirit won't allow us to be safe with each other, won't allow us to be vulnerable. It almost hinders us from engaging with each other. But see, last time I checked and I read the Bible, he said that we're adopted as sons and daughters, but we have a good dad. That he wants to give us good gifts. But see, until we become real with him, and until we share our hearts with him, he can't be that loving father that he wants to be. See, the thing about Father God is he wants you to trust him with your heart as parents. All the frustrations, all the understand. But see, sometimes we don't see that side of it until we ask. And when we ask that with our kids, it shows that we can be safe with them and that we can love and almost be vulnerable with their hearts. See, I believe that Summit has the best parents in the world because we're the best sons and daughters of the world, which is good news. I got a couple of declarations that I wanted to declare as a body this morning about family. If you guys could put them up on the screen for me. And as we declare these, whether you have kids or not, whether you're spiritual parents, whatever it might be, this is something where you get to declare over your future family. So let's go ahead and read the first one. Ready? All right. My family is blessed relationally, physically,